top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning, this is the morning news for today, Tuesday, April 23rd, in the headlines. Financial economist and United Workers Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine noted that the government's failure to release the draft new electoral and campaign finance laws and regulations as promised may be ominous sign.
Right on cue.
CARICOM will host a climate change and health training workshop from the April 23rd to 26th in Guyana to help equip the youth ambassadors and leaders with the expertise to confront the global challenges of climate change.
Top of the hour news.
And Israel's military said its soldiers opened fire and killed three Palestinians who allegedly attacked them on Sunday in the occupied West Bank, where tensions are continuing to escalate in recent weeks. Details coming up next.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on Q.
Leader of the United Workers Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, has drawn attention to the absence of any announcement by the Prime Minister regarding the release of the new draft electoral and campaign finance laws and regulations, which was promised during a recent press conference. Dr. Fontaine asserts that the recommendations put forth by the United Workers Party for electoral reforms can be implemented without the need for new parliamentary legislation.
One thing is clear to me, as clear as the statement that we just heard. He heard it from the Prime Minister. He said it once, he said it twice, he said it the third time. He re-emphasized he will have it by April, second week of April. Nothing was going to stop him, absolutely nothing. He's going full steam ahead. And today is the 23rd or 24th of April. We don't have anything as yet that we can look at or look to. What I suspect is there are probably some recommendations that were made within that. If you're going to go forward, you would probably have to make some adjustments to the Constitution. And I think there were probably one or two of those. But the fundamental issues that we are concerned with, that we have been calling for, such as the cleansing of the voters list, the issuing of voter ID cards, access to the radio station, these can be done without any change to the Constitution. So the key provisions that we've been asking about, that we've been pleading for, in particular the cleansing of the voters list and the issue of voter ID cards, you do not necessarily have to go to review the Constitution for any of that. So we can expect that whatever legislation comes forward would have these. And
that was a leader of the United Workers Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine. A newly established initiative named the Stone and Compass Overseas Study Program has been formally introduced in Dominica with the objective of positioning the country as a leading destination for international study. Education Minister and Parliamentary Representative for the Casabras constituency, Ms. Octavia Alfred, expressed the hope that this program would greatly benefit Dominica and anticipates a rise in the number of students visiting the country as part of the program.
2019, a group of students, college students, they visited Casabras on a fact-finding mission, and their feedback, the feedback they had, very positive. There was a plan, you know, we went from plan to unplan, to plan over, to replan. There was a plan for Stone and Compass to build an outdoor lab for agriculture students from America in Casabras, and when they come to do their tropical agriculture, they would come, they would live there, they would do their laundry in the river and excitement. And when they're not there, a group of students from Casabras would look after the place before it went to prepare it for the other group. Lots of plans. We were just calling to Robin crazy, you know. And everything seemed to have been rolling, but COVID came. and we stood still. But in 2023, we resumed plans, but this time far different and wider, bigger, more exciting program. To have small groups of students in various fields come over to do their kind of a practical service in Dominica, which in some cases this is required for as a graduation criteria. It was a long process, but the first group of students is here. We are expecting at least seven more groups of students in different fields between now and August. That's at least. It could be more.
Casabrosa Constituency Parliamentary Representative Octavia Alfred. Meantime, Acting Prime Minister Roland Royi remarked that students visiting Dominica will help in combating non-communicable diseases, NCDs, which are significantly impacting the population. He expressed the hope that students participating in this program will gather valuable information during their visit.
I believe this initiative opens the door for your students to immerse themselves in a learning experience like no other. Dominica's unspoiled nature is a perfect backdrop for the overseas study program, providing you with the scene, with the serene environment you need to explore, learn, and meet the central aim of a visit, which is to provide health support to special education needs and other areas of interest. As a small island state, with our share of challenges, we welcome all the help we can get to expand our health services, especially to our elderly. You will find that we place great emphasis on the provision of primary health care services, especially to our most vulnerable citizens, children, women, and the elderly. And so you have a highly functional system already in place. Here in Dominica, also contend with the high incidence of chronic non-communicable diseases, which is taking a toll on our productive population. Your students have an opportunity to help us in this regard, but also to observe this trend and use it to enhance their knowledge of health conditions and their treatment. I'm hoping that while we benefit from your expertise, that your students can also take away a valuable learning experience from their stay in Dominica.
And that was Acting Prime Minister Roland Royi. During the International Monetary Fund's IMF Annual Regional Economic Outlook Press Briefing for the Western Hemisphere, Director for the IMF's Western Hemisphere Department, Rodrigo Valls, commended the resilience exhibited by the Latin America and Caribbean region amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Valls noted that the region has experienced a stronger rebound than initially anticipated, attributing this resilience to the strengthening of macroeconomic frameworks in various countries. Valls acknowledged that while the economic activity has moderated in recent quarters as most economies approach their potential, labor markets have remained robust, with unemployment rates remaining historically low across the region. Despite these positive indicators, Valls cautioned that growth is expected to slow further, projecting a decrease from 2.3% in 2023 to 2% this year. He emphasized that this moderation is part of a broader trend towards more balanced global risk. Regarding specific countries, Valls highlighted the IMF's close monitoring of Haiti's economic situation, noting the importance of restoring security as a prerequisite for macroeconomic stability and growth. The IMF projects negative growth of 3% for Haiti this year, reflecting ongoing challenges in the country. Acting Superintendent of Prisons Jeffrey Edmond gave an update on the current operations of the state prison and the activities that are being undertaken by the prison staff to rehabilitate some of the inmates who are deemed redeemable. Mr. Edmond explained that in recent times, his staff facilitated a painting and crude texture model, which saw the training and certification of 15 inmates. Psychosocial work opportunities and services are also being offered at the prison in all efforts to rehabilitate some of these inworks inmates into functioning members of society. Jeffrey Edmond spoke at a media briefing held at the ODM office in Jimit on Monday.
The prison service is mandated by law to keep in safe custody those committed by the courts. Our duty is to help them lead law-abiding and useful lives in prison and upon release. As a result of this mandate, we have sought to engage our inmates in a few rehabilitative activities. As such, one such activity, building trades module, conducted under the auspices of the Youth Development Division, started on the 3rd of April this month and will go on for a maximum of 4 months. Some 11 inmates are engaged in this module. In March, we had a painting choral texture module. Some 15 inmates were engaged in this module. At the end of the exercise, the inmates received certificates. They learned the skills of preparing surfaces, preparing estimates, and the application of choral texture. We have formed partnerships with the Ministry of Social Services, and as a result of this partnership, they have conducted assessment of our inmates to commence psychosocial work in the prison. Some 88 inmates have enrolled, and at the end of the exercise, we will commence counseling sessions for our inmates. It's also envisioned that at some point, that prison staff themselves, ourselves, will also receive some form of counseling or psychosocial work at some point.
And that was Acting Superintendent of Prisons, Jeffrey Edmund. Prominent businessman and pharmacist Anderson Jolly calls for greater investment in the key sectors of the economy to improve spending power for the working population and advance the human resource and services offered within the tourism, sports, manufacturing, health, law enforcement, and entertainment sectors.
I mean, you go across to Martinique. Martinique looks like it's little France. It's developed. I mean, you got freeways. You got, you know, movement of people. Everything's organized. You have, you know, directions on everything. There is movement. You have people responsible for different things. How can we see that as a people going right next door? But our politicians who live here think that we in Dominica are doing perfectly fine. I mean, is it us or is it them? Ask the question real quick and you can get an answer for yourself. How can they not see when St. Lucia has 5 tourist boats or Antigua gets 15,000 people in on a day, on tourist boats? So you just have to ask yourself the question, is it the soil in Antigua that's different? Maybe it's the water in Antigua that's different. Maybe the air in Antigua might be different. So what do you think might be different? Are you serious that they cannot see that we are behind in development, that we're behind in just about everything we have going on?
Prominent businessman and pharmacist Anderson Jolly. Chair of the Caribbean Center for Research on Social Security of the Health Economic Unit and the UA St. Augustine Campus and Deputy Governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank, Dr. Valdo Henry, is urging governments across the Caribbean to review the leadership and management style of their social security systems. She added that governance plays a critical role in the sustainability of social security institutions.
I will not agree with that because I'll tell you, social security cannot lose its focus. That is the truth. The whole nature of the organization, they cannot lose focus. But what I will say to you has happened over the years is that if these adjustments are not made in a timely basis, we may have some social securities and we have some social securities that are encountering some financial difficulties. We have some social securities that are struggling to maintain their mandate. And that is why the reform of social security is so critical, but not just the reform of social security. And that is why governance of social security institutions are critical. Because the governance of social security, and that's what I did my dissertation on, how does governance structures impact the performance and sustainability of social security institutions? Because governance plays a critical role in the sustainability of social security and institutions, not just in the Caribbean, but social security institutions worldwide.
Dr. Henry reveals that as social security systems have matured and as the working force ages, finances have reduced over the past years.
So there was lots of funds in the social security because the working population far outpaced the population for retirement. But as social security have matured, the trophy, there is really less that can be done for that. And I want to bring a point. It's not about using as a piggy bank. Social security being the largest mobilizers of saving across the world, and the Caribbean being no exception to that rule, has a role to play in the economic development of a country. Has it, and especially in developing countries. What has to be guided and reminded, however, is that while it has to be done on a comprehensive basis, and that's why I've always argued that there is supposed to be this discussion and this open door between the government and the social securities, especially when government is preparing for its budget, to say what are the critical areas for growth and development of this nation? And to then ask the question, and social security then go back to ask the question, how can we facilitate some of that growth without compromising the sustainability of social security?
And that was a chair of the Caribbean Center for Research on Social Security and the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank Deputy Governor, Dr. Valda Henry. In other news, empowering CARICOM youth ambassadors and other youth leaders with technical knowledge and expertise to confront the global challenge of climate change is a main goal of the upcoming CARICOM Climate Change and Health Orientation and Training for CARICOM youth ambassadors and youth leaders, which will take place from the 23rd to 26th of April at the CARICOM Secretariat's headquarters in Georgetown, Guyana. Over 30 youth advocates and regional stakeholders comprising representatives from groups such as UA Start Students Today, Alumni Tomorrow, Vice Chancellors Ambassador Corps, the University of Guyana, and other academic and youth-oriented entities are also expected to participate in this 4-day initiative. This training program aligns seamlessly with the CARICOM Secretariat's Climate Change and Health Program, which is aimed at deepening awareness on how climate change affects health and disseminating knowledge on prevention and adaptation measures to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. According to Michelle Small-Bartley, Deputy Program Manager, Youth Development, CARICOM Secretariat, the exercise is intended to elevate youth leaders' awareness of the health impacts of climate change and enhance their engagement in identifying and implementing effective strategies to mitigate these impacts. And Israel's military reported that its soldiers responded with gunfire to an attack by Free Palestinians on Sunday in the occupied West Bank, where tensions have escalated recently. The Palestinian Health Ministry confirmed that all Free Palestinians involved in the incident were killed.
This was the scene in the occupied West Bank on Sunday, where two Palestinians tried to shoot and stab Israeli soldiers, according to the Israeli military. It added that its soldiers responded with live fire. A Reuters cameraman saw a body at the scene of the incident, a junction near the Palestinian city of Hebron. The official Palestinian news agency, WAFA, quoting local sources, said that Israeli forces shot the two men and ambulance crews were prevented from reaching them. Palestinian security forces told WAFA that the two men, aged 18 and 19, died and that they were still unable to collect their bodies. Violence in the West Bank, already on the rise before the Israel-Hamas war in Gaza, has escalated, with frequent army raids on militant groups, rampages by Jewish settlers in Palestinian villages, and Palestinian street attacks. On Sunday, mourners fire in the air at a funeral for Palestinians killed by Israeli forces in a raid the day before. Palestinian health authorities said at least 14 Palestinians were killed in the Nur Shams area near the flashpoint city of Tulkarm. The Israeli army released a video said to show its operations, which began in the early hours of Friday. Reuters was not able to independently confirm the date or location of the footage. Separately on Saturday, an ambulance driver was killed as he went to pick up wounded from a separate attack by violent Jewish settlers, Palestinian authorities said. Israel's military did not immediately comment on the ambulance driver's death on Saturday. The war in Gaza has overshadowed continuing violence in the West Bank. Thousands of Palestinians have been arrested and hundreds killed during regular operations in the West Bank by Israeli army and police since the start of the Gaza war on October 7th. Those killed were mostly members of armed groups, but also stone-throwing youths and uninvolved civilians.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Financial economist and United Workers Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine,
as it happens,
noted that the government's failure to release the draft new electoral and campaign finance laws and regulations as promised may be an ominous sign.
DA.com. Right on.
CARICOM will host a climate change and health training workshops from April 23rd to 26th in Guyana to help equip the youth ambassadors and leaders with the expertise to confront the global challenges of climate change. And Israel's military said its soldiers opened fire and killed three Palestinians who allegedly attacked them on Sunday in the occupied West Bank, where tensions are continuing to escalate in recent weeks.
Right on cue.
I've been your presenter, Fidis Envalmende.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95.